Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 401st Word for Word show. There have been a couple that I haven't counted because they were on different subjects. But this is the 401st scripture, word for word. The prepper shows, etc., etc. I didn't consider them. That was information, but that's not the word. That was just good information. We're going to be starting in the second part of chapter 13 of the book of Matthew. I suggest strongly that you obtain some writing materials and write down what I'm going to give you for references, because there's such a wealth of information here. You don't want to have to go to the website and then download or listen again. Unless you'd like to, that's fine. Speaking of the website, my website is, and if I don't give the whole thing and you Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get hundreds of Pastor Steves. You're going to get all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to give the full website. It's HTTPS, as in sugar, :// pastor-steve.com, and that will take you to my website, not somebody else's, because there's a bunch of stuff out there. Okay. I was notified of that the other day. I Googled Pastor Steve, and there's 300 of them. Oh, man. Oh, the internet is like the world, a very strange place. But let's get into chapter 13 of the book of Matthew here. We left off on verse 35. So today we will begin with verse 36. Now this is after he came down and was off the mountain, and he sent the crowds away, and he went in the house. He had been speaking in parables, and they wanted to know why. Okay, well, verse 36. This is Yeshua talking to his taught ones. Then, having sent the crowds away, Yeshua went into the house. And his taught ones came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the darnel of the field. Okay, let me tell you what a darnel is. It looks like wheat, but it is a poisonous plant. It's poisonous to men and beasts. It's poisonous. Okay. Verse 37. And he answered, said to them, who is sowing the good seed is the son of Adam. That would be him, okay? And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the rain. Now he's speaking of the rain of Yahweh. But the darnel are the sons of the wicked one. All right? Sons of the wicked one. Now, who might that be? All right. Sons of the wicked one. Flash forward to John 8:44. Remember that you're of your father, the devil. All right. Verse 39 here. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Okay, is that clear enough? The enemy who sowed them, that's the seeds of the wicked one. And his seed line, the satanic seed line, is out in the world today. His physical seed line, all right? Continuing on in verse 39. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the messengers. Those are the holy angels, the killer angels that are coming back, that are in 2 Thessalonians, coming back with his mighty messengers and a flaming sword. All right? Verse 40. As the darnel then is gathered and burned in the fire. Okay, burned in the fire. So shall it be at the end of this age. Verse 41. And you can reference Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 3. That's Zephaniah 1, verse 3. Okay, Zephaniah 1, verse 3. Verse 41 here. The son of Adam, that's him, Yeshua Messiah, okay? Every time he says that, he gives his racial designation. All right? The son of Adam shall send out his messengers, and they shall gather out of his reign, because he's going to be the king on this planet, all the stumbling blocks. Those are all the causes of sinning and offense, okay? The stumbling blocks, that's what the stumbling blocks are. And those doing lawlessness. All right? That's who the Darnell are. That's of verse 25. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel among the wheat and went away. That's the devil. And he has his seed line out here among the seed of Adam. And they try to appear like us many times so they can deceive and worm their way in and then change our secular laws to match their father's will. They're very subtle. It says so. The most subtle among the beasts of the field. Verse 42. All right. And shall throw them into the furnace of fire. There, that's there, T-H-E-R-E, in that place, shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. They're going to be screaming and hollering and All right. Verse 43. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the reign of their father. Whose father? Their father. Who's our father? Yahweh. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's give the references for verse 43 of chapter 13. Of course, you've got the book of Daniel, verse 12, the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. Then you have Psalm 37, verse 29, then Psalm 72, verse 7, that's 37:29 and 72:7, and Psalm 75, verse 10, 75:10. Psalm 118, verses 19 and 20. That's 118, 19 and 20. Psalm 146, verse 8. Psalm 146, verse 8. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 18, Malachi 3, verse 18. Then you have 2 Esdras. 2 Esdras, chapter 7, verse 97. That's 2 Esdras in the Apocrypha, chapter 7, verse 97. And then you have the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 11. Chapter 22, verse 11. Those are all for verse 43 here in chapter 13 of Matthew. Verse 44. And this is Yahshua speaking again. The reign of the heavens, in other words, the reign of Yahweh, is like treasure hidden in a field. It's buried at in the field, which a man, having found it, hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In verse 45. Again, the reign of the heavens, that's the reign of Yahweh, is like a man, a merchant seeking fine pearls. Verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The pearl of great price. Salvation through Yeshua Messiah. Okay. Verse 47. Again. The reign of the heavens, that's of Yahweh, is like a dragnet that it was thrown into the sea and gathered some of every kind. All right, now, don't get misled by that, because the next verse clarifies that. Verse 48. Which, when it was filled, that's what they threw in the sea, and then they pulled this net in, and they had all kinds of fish they caught in it. They drew to the shore, and they sat down, and pay attention to this, and gathered the good into containers, but threw the rotten away. Fish that were not good for anything. They're worthless. They're rotten fish. Rotten to the core. That good people, the ones of Adam that have been obedient, they will be gathered. But the ones that are disobedient are going to be thrown away.
Oh, but God loves everybody. Everybody can be saved. Hallelujah, amen. Send your money up here in the plate.
Oh, please. Tell more lies. Man, man, man. Whew. What garbage they preach today. Verse 49. And here we go again. Thus shall it be at the end of the age, the messenger shall come forth. Those are killer angels. All right, let's not mince words. These are not warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely little wing things. These are killers with swords, flaming fire and brimstone and wrath. That's their job. All right, they're not here to be Mr. Nice Guy, but they're not going to touch the ones with the mark of Yahweh on their forehead, as I have said before when I was reading Ezekiel. If you've got the mark in your heart and on your forehead, and you think of Yahweh, you call upon his name, they won't touch you. They're going to destroy those who don't know Elohim. Read 2 Thessalonians. Don't mince words. Christ didn't miss words. He wasn't warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely either. He told the truth. Thus shall it be at the end of the age. The messengers shall come forth and separate the wicked out of the midst of the righteous. Verse 50. And shall throw them into the furnace of fire. That's the lake of fire. Throw them into the furnace of fire to be consumed. They're worthless. They're not good for anything else. They're the tares. They will be bundled and burned. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51 of chapter 13. Yahshua said to them, have you understood all this? They said to him, yes, Master. Okay. He made it clear. I hope it was clear to you what he just said. Verse 52. And he said to them, therefore, every scholar taught in the reign of the heavens, those that have learned the word, reign of Yahweh, is like a householder who brings out of his treasure matters renewed and old. Going to tell the whole truth, explain a lot of stuff, going to preach the Old Testament, going to preach the Apocrypha, going to preach the New Testament, because they're all one testament. There's no old, middle, and new. It's all the same. It's the word. Verse 53. And it came to be, when Yahshua had ended these parables, that he left there. Verse 54. And when he had come to his own country, that would be Galilee, he taught them in the congregation, so that they were astonished and said, where did this one get this wisdom and miracles? Verse 55. Is this not the son of the carpenter? Is not his mother called Miriam, and his brothers Jacob and Joseph and Shimeon and Yehuda? Those are all the names of his brothers. He had four brothers who Joseph and Mary had after Yahshua, the firstborn, was born. They were married. They had sex. She got pregnant by a man that time, not by the Holy Spirit. Verse 56. And his sisters, she had girls too. Are they not all with us? Where did this one get all this? Verse 57. And they stumbled at him. They were confused. They didn't get how this one that grew up among them could be so powerful and such a prophet. They stumbled at him, but Yahshua said to them, prophet is not unappreciated except in his own country and in his own house. And the reference for that verse is the book of John, chapter 4, verse 44. John 4, verse 44. And verse 58. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. They just shorted themselves on a bunch of miracles. They messed up. Well, I believe, and I'm amazed. Now we start chapter 14. Okay. This is the beginning of the conspiracy against him here. We're going to get into a lot of the going on behind the scenes with the Edomites in power. Chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Herodias, that's Herod, the district ruler, heard the report about Yeshua. Verse 2. And said to his servants, "This is Yohanan the Immerser. He has risen from the dead, and that is why these mighty powers are at work in him." He was scared. This is Yohanan the Immerser, the one he had beheaded, okay? He is risen from the dead. And that is why these mighty powers are at work in him. He didn't know what to think, so he just, being superstitious and being an Edomite, he wouldn't understand. Verse 3 and verse 4, you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Okay, that's Luke 3, 19 and 20. And in verse 4 alone, there's there's a bunch of stuff. Leviticus 18:16. Leviticus 20:21. So that's 18:16 and 20:21. That's the references for chapter 14. Because Herodias had arrested Yochanan, that's just verse 3, bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. He was fooling around with his brother Philip's wife. Verse 4, for Yochanan had said to him, "It is not right for you to have her." Verse 5, and wishing to kill him, he feared the crowd because they held him as a prophet. Verse verse 6. But as Herodias' birthday was being held, the daughter of Herodias, that's his brother, daughter of Herodias, that's his brother's wife, his daughter, danced before them and pleased Herodias. All right, now get this. He's messing with his brother's wife and the daughter. I mean, these people are sexually immoral, okay? He's just doing everybody, basically. The daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herodias. She was doing the hoochie-coochie out there. Verse 7, so he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. And she, being urged on by her mother, said, give me here the head of Yochanan the Immerser on a dish. Now, he didn't want to kill John the Baptist, Yochanan the Immerser, but he would. Verse 9, and the sovereign was sad, but because of the oaths and the guests, he commanded it to be given. Verse 10, and sent and beheaded Yochanan in the prison. Verse 11, and his head was brought on a dish and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. That's verse 11. Man. Verse 12. And his taught ones came and took away the body and buried it and went and reported to Yeshua. Those are the disciples of John the Baptist. Okay. Verse 13. Now when Yeshua heard it, he withdrew from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Verse 14. And when Yeshua came out, he saw a large crowd and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Verse 15. And when the evening came, his taught ones came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Dismiss the crowds, so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Okay, here comes a miracle. Okay, verse 16. But Yeshua said to them, they do not need to go away. Give them to eat yourselves. In other words, share your food with them. But there was a huge crowd. Verse 17. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Verse 18. And he said, bring them here to me. Verse 19. And commanding the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to the heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the taught ones, and the taught ones gave to the crowds. Now, these are a lot of people. Verse 20. Now, that was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Okay. Verse 20. And all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the pieces left over. 12 baskets filled. Verse 21. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So there were women and kids with them. So probably over 10,000 people with 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. And his blessing and the power that came from the Father multiplied all this food. And 12 baskets full of food were left over. Okay, but people don't believe. They don't want to believe that. Oh, man, that's just, oh, come on. Okay, verse 22. And immediately Yeshua made his taught ones enter into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening had come, he was alone there. He was up on the mountain, and the boat, okay, verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, agitated by the waves, for the wind was against it. Okay, Yeshua was up on the mountain, on the land, okay? The boat was in the middle of the passage going between the two things of land and was getting tossed all over by the waves, okay? Verse 25. Verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went to them walking on the sea. Duh. Verse 26. And when the taught ones saw him walking on the sea, because he had been up on the mountain on the land, they were troubled, saying, is it a phantom? And from fear they cried. I mean, they weren't ready for Yeshua to come walking on the agitated sea. Walking on the water. Verse 27. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 28, and Kepha answered him, oh, that's Simon Peter, called the rock because they called him Petros, therefore Peter. Okay, that's the rock, Kepha, that's his Hebrew name, answered him and said, Master, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. And when Kepha had gone out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But when he saw that the wind was strong, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Master, save me. In other words, his belief faltered. Okay. Verse 31. And immediately Yeshua stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, O you of little belief, why did you doubt? In other words, I told you, come to me, walk on the water. You have the power to do that. You're one of the 12. I gave you that kind of power. Verse 32. And when they came into the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 33. And those in the boat came and did bow to him, saying, truly, you are the Son of Elohim. They weren't doubting it. That he walked on the water and did all of that. And, you know, stilled the sea. What are you going to say to something like that? Verse 34. And having passed over, they came to the land of Gennesar. Okay. Verse 35. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all its surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. The master is here. Verse 36. And begged him to let them only touch the tzitzit of his garment, and as many as touched it were completely healed. Now, tzitzit are the fringes on the corners of a four-cornered garment that dangle down. They have a thread of blue in them, and they are to remind people of the law given to Moshe. That's what tzitzit are. I'm wearing a tzitzit shirt with four fringes on it right now. I'm sitting here in a chair wearing my tzitzit shirt underneath my regular shirt, and it has four fringes, and I let the fringes hang out, and when I go anywhere out in the public, I dangle them outside my trousers. I bring them up and hang them on the outside, and there are witnessing points for other people. But what are those? What are those? And I preach the gospel. I preach out in the world. So, whatever. We're going to get into chapter 15 here. I don't know. It's 42 minutes into the show. I don't know how far we'll get. But we'll just keep on going. And I'll get them on the next show. We have time. We have time. Verse 1 of chapter 15. Then there came to Yeshua scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem. All right, these are the bad guys. There we go, you know. The bad guys are coming. Saying, why do your taught ones transgress the traditions of the elders? Okay, the traditions of the elders. That's what they taught as law. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. They have a ritualistic washing thing. And They've added all these so-called laws, but they're Babylonian Talmud stuff. Verse 3. Okay. But he answering said to them, why do you also transgress the command of Elohim, because of your tradition? Okay. Whoa. because of your tradition. Because the tradition of the Talmudist goes against Scripture. Verse 4. Now, verse 4, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. That's Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 21, verse 17. Exodus 21, verse 17. Leviticus 20, verse 9. That's Leviticus 20, verse 9. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 16. That's Deuteronomy 5, 16. Okay. Now we're moving on down. Verse 4, I'll read the verses here. Verse 4, for Elohim has commanded, saying, respect your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Now here's where he gets in their face. Verse 5. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated. Verse 6, is certainly released from respecting his father or mother. So you have nullified the command of Elohim by your tradition. Your tradition is against Yahweh's laws. I mean, whoa. Well, verse 7. Hypocrites! Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, rightly prophesied about you, saying, and here's verses 8 and 9, and you can reference Isaiah 29:13. That's Isaiah 29:13 for 8 and 9. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 19, that's 2 Kings 17, verse 19, and the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 7, okay? This people draw near to me with their mouth and respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as teachings the commands of men. That's the Babylonian teachings. And the Edomites that were worming their way in Isaiah's time, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Getting the devils in with the good people. I'm going to drink a coffee here. Verse 10, and calling the crowd near, he said to them, hear and understand. Now, this is about the washing of the hands, okay? Not that which goes into the mouth defiles the man, but that which comes out of the mouth. This defiles the man. In other words, what you say, your words, your deeds. Verse 12. Then his taught ones came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees stumbled when they heard this word?" In other words, they didn't understand it. They couldn't hear his word because they're not of him. Verse 13, but he answering said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted." They're not of Yahweh, they're of the devil, okay? Verse 14, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. Verse 15. Verse 14. You can reference Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Luke 6, 39. Verse 15, and Kepha, that's Peter, answering, said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Verse 16, and Yeshua said, "Are you also still without understanding?" Verse 17, do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and is cast out into the sewer? In other words, you're going to poop it out. Straight out, that's what he's saying. Verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and these defile the man. Verse 18, you can reference Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, 34. Verse 19, for out of the heart comes forth wicked reasonings, murders, adulteries, whorings, thefts, false witnessings, and slanders. Verse 20, these defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Now, there was a belief back then that demons entered your person eating bread with unwashed hands. That's more fables, okay? Verse 21. And Yeshua went out from there and withdrew to the parts of Zoar and Sidon. Verse 22. Listen to this. And see, a woman of Canaan came from those borders and cried out to him, saying, "Have compassion on me, O Master, son of David. My daughter is badly demon-possessed." Now, he's a Canaanite. She's a Canaanite, pardon me. So, verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. And his taught ones came and asked him, saying, "Send her away, because she cries after us." Well, here we go. Verse 24. And he answering said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is that plain enough? Only the dispersion of Israel is who he came for. He did not come for the Katsahundas and Mabajabas and whatever. Came for the Caucasian Israelites. Verse 25. But she came and was bowing to him, saying, Master, help me. Verse 26. And he, answering, said, It is not good to take the children's bread, that's the children of Yahweh, Yahweh's chosen people, Israel, and throw it to the little dogs. Called her a little dog. Verse 27. But she said, Yes, Master, for even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In other words, yes, I know I'm a dog, I know I'm not an Israelite, but my daughter has a demon. Well, she was a Canaanite child, and they were open to that. They're not of Yahweh, so it was easy for demons to enter into these creatures, as it is today. Verse 28, And Yeshua answering said to her, O woman, your belief is great. Let it be to you as you desired. And her daughter was healed from that hour. Now, she didn't get eternal life. She didn't become Israel. He did a Canaanite a favor just out of mercy because she believed. Now, in the end, when the destroyers come to destroy those that are not of Israel, those that have not opposed Yahweh and not tried to harm Israel will not be destroyed, but only those that have been on the opposing team. Get it? The exterminationist theory is wrong. There will still be people here outside the walls of Jerusalem. They are called dogs and all that other stuff, and they will be hewers of wood and drawers of water. They will be servants. That's their place on the planet, but they'll live out a normal life of however many years, and then they'll die, just like they do now. But the evil ones, the enemy, they will be destroyed. Verse 29, And moving from there, Yeshua came toward the Sea of Galilee, that's Galilee, and going up on the mountain, he was sitting there. Verse 30. All right, let's stop here because I don't have time. I'm down to like 1 minute. I'll finish this chapter on the next show. I'll pick it up from verse 30 on. I don't have the time. I could just go on and on and on. I love this. This is wonderful. So may Yahweh bless and keep you. It's been a pleasure. I'll catch you on the next show. And the weekend's coming up. Have a good weekend. Yahweh bless you. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.